This is Peter Aylward. I'm at the Tidmanbilla Tracking Station, and I'm out here speaking to Mr. Wayne Seibel.
How do you do?
Great, thank you, Wayne. Thanks for joining the Space Show. You're from Jet Propulsion Laboratory?
Right, in Pasadena, California.
And tell me what do you do there and why you're here today?
Okay, I'm the deputy manager of NASA's Deep Space Network. I'm responsible for the operations, maintenance, and care and feeding of the network worldwide, Madrid, Australia, and Mojave Desert in California. And we're down here having yearly tag up on budgets, most anything we have to keep track of on a yearly basis.
And there's quite a bit of work going on here at the moment, I understand?
There is quite a bit of work. In addition to normal tracking of spacecraft and keeping them safe and healthy, we're building two antennas. The first one's going to go operational in October of 2014, and then 2 years later, the second one.
And that second antenna, what are those antennas doing? What work are they doing now, and what are they going to be doing?
Well, actually, in 2015 is when we saw a need with most of the missions getting in the southern hemisphere. We need more tracking coverage. And the Canberra site has the fewest tracking antennas of any of the three tracking sites that we have. So we wanted to augment that, the first one being available for the missions that are going to be in the southern declination so they can be tracked. We're using the new antenna plus the other three that are here.
And are all the three stations identical or very similar? Or?
We try to complement the antennas the same. They all have a 70 meter. They all have 34 meters. At the Mojave Desert, where we generally do new things, so we test them first there. So we have five 34-meter antennas. There are two here. There are three in Madrid. So for the most part, they're somewhat the same. All the antennas are built the same. But the size and dimension, it's about 200 acres of land in Mojave Desert with antennas sprinkled around. Here it's more compact. In Madrid it's more compact. So you can fit four or five antennas within walking distance of each other.
Right. And are they all linked up together themselves, or are they totally independent, or does it go through a different center?
They can run independently, but the predicts that are needed to track the spacecraft, to know the frequencies and the position in the sky, come from JPL, central spot in JPL. The predicts are sent out about a day ahead of time, and then they configure the antennas so they can track whatever missions they're going to track. There's about 30-plus missions that we track each week. The contact time ranges from minutes for low Earth, Earth orbiter type missions and ones at the moon, to a 12-hour pass for a Voyager or a Cassini. They have a long view period, so they're tracked for a long period of time. And the more antennas we have, the more performance we can get because we can array them together and enhance the signal reception.
And the image or the data that goes through these stations, I mean, you track or you receive information as well as send?
Right, yeah. We send the commands to the spacecraft that allow the instruments on board to collect the science, do whatever they need to do, housekeeping type information, maneuver it, move it around in the sky. And then the data comes back through these antennas back to JPL and then out to the missions that are located all out around the world. We track NASA missions, European Space Agency missions, Japanese missions, and we're about to track a Mars mission that's being launched from India.
Okay. Do you have any, I mean, you've mentioned India. Do you have anything to do with the Chinese space program and any other space program?
No, mainly India, the Europeans, the Japanese, some Canadians, most anybody we track. We haven't been asked to support any Chinese missions. They're building their own set of networks and track them and build them themselves.
You probably won't answer this, but do you eavesdrop on any missions you think might be interesting that you don't officially have access to?
That's not our network. Our network is specifically geared towards scientific missions, so any defense-related items we're not really involved with. The Deep Space Network is managed by Caltech, which is a university that's under contract to NASA, and everything we do is all scientifically based. The U.S. has other networks and things that track those kind of defense-related items. So we stay strictly science.
And none of your stuff is Earth orbital. It's all deep space?
All deep space. You may have met John Walker. He manages all three networks, the Space Network, Ground Network, and the Deep Space Network from NASA headquarters. The Near-Earth Network tracks all the missions that are in Earth orbit. So they have a little bit smaller antennas because they can go through the sky faster and track Earth orbiters that are traveling much faster across the sky. And then we track the ones that are in deep space, anything from the moon on out.
Very good. And are you having any sort of early sort of involvements in the whatever the next phase of the deep space exploration for the NASA program, manned program?
Yes. Actually, we're in the study phase now of trying to figure out which of our antennas we'd use for the human spaceflight. There are some demonstration missions coming up that are non-manned that will demonstrate our ability to track at the frequencies they have, the reliability they have. There's two unmanned before they would even get to one where they're going to have humans in it. But they're planning to use it. See, formerly the near-Earth network and the space network tracked the space station and the shuttle and trips to the moon. We supported that moon activity, but we were just supporting it. Now, anything that gets out past the moon, we're the only network that does that. So we have to be really reliable and capable and have a robust way of returning data up in the, you know, quadruple nines, you know, 99.99% of all the data that's available we get.
So just in general, what are your thoughts? I'll be here for the 40th anniversary of DSS 43, and how do you find working with the Australian government, Australian people, CSIRO?
Oh, I love working with the Australians, the Spaniards. This is great. They always treat us very, very nicely when we come over here. They're extremely intelligent and love the work. That's what you really enjoy coming down here. Everybody you saw in there today, they love this work. They come out on the weekends, and then the special event, they just want to be there. They want to be a part of it. And that's what makes NASA and the scientific community just so much fun to work in. You know, everybody's so excited about it. And you see the 70-meter, it's a big, big piece of hardware that has to keep running. And the staff that's here, we spent the last week with them, you know, the guys that turn the cranks, the guys that deal with the electronics, they're all proud of what they do, and they want to keep that thing running forever.
Well, given it is the 40th anniversary, there's actually a lot of old-timers here,
yes.
People that predate you and I.
Yes.
And you're right, you can see the enthusiasm that they still have that you experience and describe today, and it's just a wonderful community.
Yeah, and I saw the photos. I was at JPL when the Curiosity lander landed on Mars, and they had pictures of what was going on here, and this place was packed with visitors, people just going nuts over the activity. They came in, it was middle of the night for them, and it was really, you think about all the people that get engaged in this and exploring, space, and you've got a whole group of them down here, especially Glenn Nagel. Glenn's the guy that runs the visitor center here. Well, he just loves this work. He just loves it.
So we're wrapping up, but tell me about yourself. How did you get involved? You work for JPL?
I work for JPL. I got involved with JPL 34 years ago. I came in as a operations person dealing with the Voyager spacecraft. I was on the flight team. Then I moved into programming, and I spent a couple years doing programming and then went to work on the Galileo project and did software development for the Galileo project at Jupiter. Stayed on that project for almost 18 years, leaving as the deputy project manager. And now I'm working the DSN, spent the last 10 years here, love it. It's I deal with everything from roads to electronics and low noise amplifiers, and it's a wide range of items to have to deal with. There's never a dull day.
And how's your Spanish?
My Spanish is a little poor. Fortunately, they all speak English. Everybody we deal with, so it makes it fun. Now, Australian English is a little bit different than U.S. English, as I find out every trip down here, but it is fun. I enjoy being down here.
Well, listen, thank you very much. We appreciate you coming down and spending time with us on the Space Show, and have a great time here and good trip back.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. My pleasure.